Kolek a little while ago.
You watch him now on the screen.
It's bad ball. It's bad football.
That was Chip Bellick, number 61.
I get.
Speak up, please.
Get you some of that, Jalen Tabor!
Is that good enough for you?
I'm almost embarrassed.
You can be miserable, but they are going to be miserable with you.
I said what I said.
We have to score.
What an exciting time in America.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Don't clap. That could be tough. Don't clap.
Welcome back in, Cube Show. Hour number 3 already? It's going fast today.
A lot of stuff's happened over the weekend.
It's been a busy day, a busy morning. We've got Ben Leard and John Parker Wilson coming up this hour. We will also have Heather Dinich next hour to top college football playoff. But as we do each and every morning at this time, we welcome in our good friend,
Conrad Thompson.
Good morning, Conrad. How you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys? How are you?
Doing well. Alabama in the college football playoff. Your thoughts?
It was a great day yesterday at my house. I got to admit, I was pretty nervous going into the big reveal. And the way they teased it and teased it and teased it before the reveal, it was very pro wrestling. I was very frustrated. But yeah, I'm excited. And I immediately booked my travel. And I will be there. Win, lose, or draw.
When you saw that the committee decided to go with two teams from the SEC, what did that say to you?
Well, I mean, I really do think they're focused on putting the best four teams there. And I think you could make the argument that those two SEC teams are two of the best four teams. And obviously the committee agreed. And I don't think they're too caught up in playing politics, because if they were, they probably would have voted a different way. And I think that's good that we've, I mean, that was the kind of the idea, or at least I thought, was to just have the best four teams, not necessarily conference winners, which they've shown us just last year, that that's not necessarily the hard and fast rule. So it went my way this year, so I'm a fan of it, but I can admit I'm a homer.
Yeah, but I mean, I said yesterday via Twitter that it's a great day for college football, and I understand that people immediately are going to see that and say, oh, you're an SEC homer, and it's because it's SEC teams, you like this, and you got an SEC logo in your Twitter picture, and oh, this is BS. But for me, I thought it showed that this committee is not following an agenda and is doing their best job to put the four best teams into the college football playoff and allow them to compete for a national championship.
I totally agree. And, you know, I think by that you got it right. And a lot of people argued that last year they got it wrong, and the truth revealed itself when Clemson blew them out. And we'll see if that's what happens this time. And if Clemson blows out Alabama, then I'll be the first to say, hey, they got it wrong. But that's the reason that we play the games. And I think a lot of people who were upset yesterday almost sort of took it like Alabama was voted champion. That's not the way this works. There's still two games left. I mean, they've still got to get through two games. So if Alabama, you know, lays an egg against Clemson, then yeah, you've got a valid argument that maybe they got it wrong. But this is why we play the games.
Conrad Thompson with us. And you look at this matchup, Alabama-Clemson 3. We've had this the previous two college football playoffs. We'll get it in the semifinal this time. Get it in the Sugar Bowl. Just right now, on the surface, quickly looking at it, what are your thoughts on the matchup?
Well, I mean, I think these are the best possible matchups. I think everybody wants to see sort of the rubber match with Alabama-Clemson. And Georgia and Oklahoma intrigues me in a big way. I might actually be interested in that game more than the other if I weren't an Alabama fan, just because you could argue right now that Oklahoma is the best team in football, and they're kind of getting hot at the right time. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what Georgia's really made of, because Georgia has had a lot of opportunity this year, in my opinion, to show that they were the best team. And to me, they haven't sold me, but I'm a biased Alabama fan. So the playoffs to me are going to be more fun than the national championship, unless it's just silly, stupid, and somehow Alabama's playing Georgia in the Georgia Dome, which would really piss off the entire world, would it not?
No, I agree. And we talked about it. We said that if two teams were to get in, I mean, I think we kind of thought it would be Alabama and Auburn last week, but did you want to do it right off the bat and get it out of the way? Did you want to risk having that in your national championship game? I mean, listen, the geographical footprint of this playoff is not widespread, but I was frustrated to hear a guy like Dave Wannstedt on Fox talk about if this did happen, be it Alabama-Auburn, be it Alabama-Georgia-Clemson, that too many teams from the Southeast, it's not fair to college football. That statement in and of itself really bothered me. Fair to college football is the four best teams. And anything else is unfair to college football and college football fans. Would you agree?
No, I totally agree. And I feel like Dave can't help himself but think about the politics of college football. And I think the committee got it right. If the best four teams are from one conference, then that's what it is. And I know that, you know, he wants to feel like everybody gets an opportunity. And that would make more sense if there were 16 spots. But when there's four spots, I mean, this is why the playoff was created, to make sure you had the best four teams. And this is the most fun time to be a college football fan, because you have all this and sometimes really, really good argument, a variety of different directions. You could argue that Wisconsin should be there. You could argue that USC should be there. You could argue that Ohio State should be there. And obviously you could argue that Alabama should be there. But I think that the truth reveals itself. You know, we sort of do this every year. And then after that first round of games, everybody sort of looks around and says, okay, well, here's what they should have done. And more times than not, they get it right. Do they not?
Yeah, more times than not. I agree. But you brought up a decent point, and I kept thinking about this Saturday evening when it looked like things had sort of figured itself out, and you had a good tweet of, all right, we've got Georgia in, we've got Clemson in, and you know, you wanted to know who was going to be the fourth, basically saying if Ohio State won this game, was it going to be Alabama, Auburn? Oklahoma obviously was in. And people were losing their minds over the debate of should it be Ohio State, should it be Alabama? Like you said, a couple of people coming in with USC. But I kind of stepped back at one point and I said to myself, this is what makes this sport great, or at least a big part of it. The fact that we're debating, the fact that we care enough to want a team in. I mean, if there's a wild card snub in the NFL, who cares? How many people talk about that? How many people talk about a team that finishes second in their division and has a good year but misses out on the wild card? How far does that discussion ever go down the realm of sports talk radio or social media or anything? We don't know, because nobody ever even knows who it is. Right. The fact that we debate this is a big portion of what makes college football so great.
Well, and it also shows, you know, and I hate to be a homer here, but it also shows that every single weekend matters. You know, with the pros, you can have an off game or two or five and still wind up becoming the champions. But in college football, man, every weekend is do or die, even if you lose to an unranked Iowa team. And that's probably what cost Ohio State the spot yesterday, don't you think?
Well, the way they lost. Not just losing to that team, because that's a difficult place to play. I think you could have forgiven a loss there, but you get blown out, and I think that's a little bit too much. So one thing that never happens is listeners getting blown out at First Family Mortgage. Unless you want to blow out some of your mortgage payment or a couple house payments here before the end of the year and get a little extra Christmas cash in your pocket, Conrad, tell them how they can do it.
Man, a quick 10-minute phone call right now on your ride to work. I know it sounds crazy, but we can save you tens of thousands of dollars, and we do it fairly routinely. Just last week, we helped a family who had a great interest rate in the threes. They thought, man, there's no way you can save me money. Here's what they didn't realize. They had a second mortgage, they had credit card debt, and they had 27 years left on their loan. We put all of that together, got them down to just 15 years, and their monthly payments overall are still significantly cheaper. They're saving $300 a month. That is incredible. You're talking about a $4,000 a year annual savings. And on top of that, you cut 12 years off of your loan. All told, it's nearly $100,000 they saved. And really think about the impact in their life that's going to make. They're going to pay their house off when they're in their 40s, as opposed to being like 60. Come on, what are you doing? Punch in your phone right now. Find out how easy it is to get out of debt faster and pay your house off well before retirement. You don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket, and you even get to skip your next two house payments. You don't have to make January or February. You're done until March. Let's get a jump start on your New Year's resolution to save money. Let's call First Family, 425-0105.
Great stuff, Conrad. Look forward to catching up tomorrow morning.
Thanks, guys.
Conrad Thompson with First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com. All right, let's get to 10 After Tweets, also brought to you by First Family Mortgage.
Bring me the tweets!
Joel Klatt, at Joel Klatt tweets, thoughts on at CFB playoff rankings. Ohio State should have scheduled an FCS opponent over Oklahoma. Ohio State, Alabama, and USC had major flaws, and there wasn't a, quote, good option. The College Football Playoff Committee is dishonest, inaccurate, and unreliable, which puts long-term health of playoff at risk.
You know, that last one could have applied to Congress, except for the playoff part. If you had just add dishonest, long-term health.
Puts our country at risk?
Yeah. If you had to replace country with health. Listen, Joel's entitled to a very narrow opinion of his. And let me say this. When I gave all of my opinions as far as what I thought would happen, I just thought that's what the committee would do. I think the committee putting two teams from one conference, if they think it was better, I think it's a good deal for the league. The SEC, obviously. Because you get two of them in.
You think?
You're guaranteed one in the national championship. Well, no, you're not guaranteed. I should say that. You could get two in the national championship game. It's a good look for the league. It's a good look for college football. It's a good look for the committee more so than anything else. I don't know if it's great for college football. It's good when you have just all these brands in there, but you weren't going to get a UCF in there anyway. I think it's great for the committee more than anything else because it gives people some validation as far as will these people not be dishonest and lie to themselves as far as who's the better team versus who just sits there and gets their way in, weasels their way in, week out. So I disagree that the committee's dishonest.
Yeah, I didn't see it that way.
I thought they validated their spot more than prove that they were dishonest. But again, the target that we're talking about with college football and picking the four is an ever-moving one. It's not going to be the same week to week. Because Alabama's resume did not improve Saturday. It got worse. With Fresno State and Auburn both losing and Ohio State winning.
Yep.
So clearly Ohio State was good enough to get to 5, and Alabama was still clearly above Ohio State, even though Kirby Hokus said last week there wasn't a lot of margin between 5 and 8, or 5 and 9, actually. Clearly there was.
JD at JLay12 tweets in, who will be coaching longer at current school, Malzahn or Saban?
It's a great question. I think Saban.
Wow.
I think Arkansas will probably open again in 3 years. And I think at that point, it'll be too much at Auburn. He bolts.
There you go.
Because I think Saban's turning into the Tom Brady of this. The more I thought Saban would be done by the time he was 70, the more I think that he may not be done until he's 75. Even though he said he doesn't want to be these coaches that coaches till he's 200 years old. Luckily, he won't. I think he's just fine with coaching. It's not like he's getting sick.
No.
Not like he looks like he's bored or tired.
Josh Newberg, at Josh Newberg 247 tweets, I'm hearing Kevin Sumlin is slow playing the UCF job to see what happens in Oregon today or tomorrow.
I tell you the interesting thing about Willie Taggart on Friday was asked questions about whether or not he was going to Florida State, and all he said was, I'm not answering any rumors, which is funny because that's what Jimbo Fisher said too. They have a bigger twist. Arky, do we have a Hover Helmets Grand Champion? We do not, because the Grand Champion comes after the bowl season.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have a chance for you to play during bowls.
We will announce that tomorrow during our second to last day on the ump to this week. It's going to be fun for you guys. We have two more shows this week. Wednesday is our last day. And then next week we will announce how you can enter in for the bowl challenge for the Hover Helmets. And then tomorrow we should be able to announce the bowl pick'ems as well.
UCF football at UCF_football tweets 20 hours ago. dang, Bama got in over us.
You know what is eternally funny about this is, and it's ha-ha in like a very sick, sad way. This system will never give UCF, Marshall, Boise, anybody a fair shake.
No, somebody asked me if Boise was undefeated this year, would they instead of UCF, would they get a real shot? And I'm like, not with that schedule, no.
No.
I mean, they would need a couple of teams like Fresno to do what they did this year, have a really good year, be in the top 25, another team or two in their conference to be having good years, and they would need two legit, probably ranked Power 5 teams to even enter the discussion, and I'm not sure if it happened.
Like Houston had a shot. You know, they had Oklahoma on the schedule. I don't think
they had another Power 5 team on the schedule that year. It wasn't just Oklahoma. There was another one. Louisville, maybe?
Louisville. I honestly don't believe, even if they had won out on that schedule, that they would have gotten.
That team was getting a lot of hype, though. That team came in, they were like preseason 10 or 12, something like that.
I think they were closer to 15, but they were in the neighborhood to start the season. I just don't think it matters, because everyone will downgrade whatever the American Conference is, or whatever the MAC is, or whatever the Conference USA is. And everyone will say, you have to go so far and above and away to be able to get in. I mean, honestly, Cole, and I don't want to punch UCF in the throat here. There's no reason to. They went undefeated. If they had beaten a top-tier opponent, let's say they had beaten, who could they probably have gotten? They probably could have gotten someone like TCU on their schedule. They probably could have gotten somebody like that on their schedule. Let's say they beat TCU and that they're undefeated and win their conference.
No.
Any of those committee members even give a shot at them being one of the top four teams?
Uh-uh. No. It's unfortunate. I said the day college football died as we know it was when Auburn and Florida State, and the clock hit zero, and the next step was going to be the Power 5 pulling away. It's going to happen. All it's going to take is some Mark Cuban billionaire type guy to say, hey, here's what you guys are playing for. You're playing for a piece of $2.1 billion. You're getting 10% of that. So you're getting $210 million. I can guarantee you more than that per year to share if you break away and have your own 16-team playoff. And that's when the Power 5 is going to have to decide, all right, BYU, Notre Dame, whoever else, we're going to add you, and we're going to figure this thing out once and for all, and we're done. We're moving on. And more than likely, the college football playoff will expand to allow conference champions to an automatic bid to get in with, which, by the way, some of the playoff scenarios that people were posing yesterday, like a 10-team playoff, what are you giving, two byes?
I don't like the idea.
Figure
of
math out.
I don't like buys. That's so why I don't stupid. Like the 16 playoff. It's like someone asked me, it's like, what's wrong with having the top two teams get buys? Oh, who gets to pick the top two teams?
It's stop.
But that's
going to happen because you're right. These group of five teams are not playing for much.
Doesn't matter if they have a high profile guy on their team and that they're doing this.
Like, I'll be perfectly honest with you. When they put that camera shot on UCF yesterday, finding out they're going to the Peach Bowl, I legitimately felt bad for those kids. I'm like, why are they so excited? Why are you having a watch party for this? I mean, it's cool. It's good for them. I'm not banging on this. It's not their fault. But it's like, were you watching to see if you got in? Because you're not getting in. So something's going to happen. Yeah, something has to happen.
You know, people always talk about getting these bigger team schools exposure. That's exposure for them.
Sure. Yeah. No, from a recruiting standpoint, it's great.
Clemson doesn't need exposure at their pizza party. What? Clemson's good this year?
You haven't even said anything about being angry yesterday that none of the teams had a watch party.
Well, Clemson had a pizza party for people, so that's okay.
For the team or for fans?
Well, I'm guessing, I think it was first addressed as the fans, because I saw people I saw people carrying pizzas in, and I think Reese Davis alluded to it, having a pizza party for the fans every year since they've gotten into the playoff the last 3 years that they've done that. I mean, I know USC wasn't having a watch party. Was nobody?
Bama definitely wasn't.
What? Bama doesn't have TVs, apparently.
No, Quint Kessens was in Ohio State, and he's like, the only people here are three equipment managers doing laundry.
Yeah,
everybody was recruiting.
That could go really bad or good for them.
Everybody was recruiting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the other parts of this, is these coaches especially with the early signing day now, they got to be out on the road. They don't have to sit around and watch a show.
That, and I don't know why Oklahoma and Clemson, like, why don't they have the why? What's wrong with it? And listen, I'm not that mad if you don't have a watch party. But it frustrates me. It frustrates me that it has to be that buttoned down and that we're going to work. This is a job. It's a business trip. It's not fun. It's college football, which is a business.
All right, we got.
No one's gonna have it. Whatever.
We got to take care of some business now and get to the break. We'll ask Ben Leard his thoughts on the SEC championship game and Gus Malzahn's extension next. Welcome back in Cube Show Sports Radio 7:30 and 103.9 The Yump. Every Monday morning, Cube Show Monday morning quarterback in the 8 o'clock hour. Ben Leard, former Auburn quarterback, with us. Ben, good morning. How you doing?
Man, Cole, I'm good, buddy. It's another day.
Let's start with this Gus Malzahn contract extension. Just your thoughts, 7 years, $49 million, won't necessarily be 7 a year starting out, but what do you make of Auburn being able to get this done?
You know, I think it provides stability. Consistency within the program. It answers a lot of questions with regards to what the true expectations are and who is going to be, hopefully, the head coach at Auburn for a number of years to come. Regardless of your satisfaction with how he has coached in certain situations, he's the head guy. Auburn has made a huge investment in Gus Malzahn, and I think from a program perspective, the stability will pay dividends.
Ben Leard with us. Let's focus now on the SEC championship game. Kerryon Johnson does not look 100% in that game. What did you feel about the game plan once that became apparent?
You know, it was when it came apparent that Kerryon was not Kerryon, right? I mean, even I would say he was probably 70 to 75%. Unable to really to be the guy that carried the load against Georgia and Alabama in the weeks prior. It looked to me, and not having been so frustrated with the game itself, I haven't gone back and watched it, but it just looked to me that Auburn truly abandoned the run. They went solely predicated on throwing the football, trying to run the ball through the air. They had success in that early on in the season, but Georgia, you've got to tip your hat to them, Cole. I mean, they made adjustments from the previous matchup. On the defensive side of the ball, they tightened their coverage. They did not allow Auburn to run the ball through the air on the quick screens. The defensive backs got themselves off of those shield blocks by the receivers and just did a tremendous job. And they made plays when they had to make plays, causing the turnovers, the blocked field goals, things of those nature, that Georgia defensively, it was the exact opposite of that 3 to 4 weeks ago in Auburn.
Ben Leard, former Auburn quarterback with us. What did you think of Jared Stidham and his performance against Georgia?
You know, with the exception of the fumble, you know, inside the red zone early on in the game, I think Jared played a good game. I think it was a difficult game to play in because you found yourself trying to play catch up the entire time. In every single drive that Auburn would find themselves having some success, they shoot themselves in the foot. When you look at it, you go back and look and watch this particular game or look at this game, they're down 13-7 late in the ball game with an opportunity to drive and score, First play of the fourth quarter, Kerryon unfortunately fumbles the ball. Georgia drives down, goes up 21-7, and it's Katie Barr the door from that point. It's game over because it totally takes Auburn out of their game plan and truly puts them in kind of catch-up mode, for lack of a better term. And it puts a lot of pressure on Jarrett to be able to make those plays. Georgia's defenders, their front seven, was able to pin their ears back. They knew they were obvious in obvious passing situations, and they made Auburn pay for it.
Ben Leard, former Auburn quarterback, joining us. What did you think changed after the first few drives? Jarrett Stidham seemed to be just on point, throwing darts, a couple of really nice passes, and then couldn't find that consistency late in the game. Is that only to be attributed to the lack of a run game to balance that out?
Cole, I would think so. I have to think that. I have to think it's a couple of things. One, not having the ability of the running game to balance that out. Because as you well know, when you are 100% dedicated to the pass, or the score dictates that you are 100% dedicated to the pass, it gives the defenders and the defensive backs a little bit more confidence in knowing what's coming. So the outside rushers, the interior defensive line, they don't have to be as concerned with that run threat as they were early on in the game. So I just think it was a matter of a couple of things that attributed to the inaccuracy. There was a couple of things that contributed to the inability to put the ball in the air and be successful. And then most importantly, the success or lack thereof of Auburn's offense to drive the football, to me, solely rests on the shoulders and the execution of the Georgia defense. They did a great job in preparing for this particular game. And when the time came, Cole, they answered the bell. They made the plays they were supposed to make when they were supposed to make them. And hence, that's why they're the SEC champions.
Ben Leard, former Auburn quarterback, joining us, talking SEC championship game. I want to flip it to the other side. What do you make of Jake Fromm, his performance, and his season as the Georgia quarterback?
You've got to give respect where respect is due. I mean, the kid is he's a fighter, man. I mean, he's not very imposing from a size perspective, does not have a very strong arm, but he's got something about himself. He's got the it factor that his teammates just gravitate to. He's got the locker room. And that's kind of cliche, but I know you understand where I'm coming from. Everybody plays for him. He's got an ability to flip a switch of the other 10 guys on the field, the special teams, the defenders, to be able to have them be in a situation to want to win the ball game regardless of what the situation may be. He made some key throws in that ball game to Mecole Hardman, whether it be inside the hash. Most importantly, he made some key third down throws on 3rd and 7 to 3rd and 10, throws that he was not able to make a handful of weeks ago. But most importantly, he did not have the time to make them. So I think not only from Jake Fromm's perspective did he execute and play well, absolutely, but I think the difference maker, or the difference in this ball game from an offensive side of the football with regards to Georgia, the difference was the execution of the offensive line. They played extremely well Saturday in Atlanta in the Georgia Dome, not the Georgia Dome, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, but just did a tremendous job as far as their run blocking and their pass protection. I think you would agree with that.
Yeah, this is Sam Pittman deserves a lot of credit. Jim Chaney deserves a lot of credit for the plan that they put out against Auburn. What adjustment do you think Auburn could have made defensively to what Georgia was doing on the perimeter in that game?
Well, I think there are a handful of situations, and hindsight's always 20/20. But what I would have perceived as an option on the perimeter is to bring that safety down, maybe walk that outside linebacker down outside the defensive tackle. There were certain stunts and certain games that it looked to be that caught Auburn in the wrong place at the wrong time, whether they were inside stunts, whether they're inside slants by Jeff Holland or even Nick Coe, looking at those, that just really at the snap of the ball, Auburn was out of position. Now, was that a call, or was that just a gut instinct, or just Jeff Holland, or defensive end going to the path of least resistance and trying to get to the football? But I would have liked to have seen more leverage placed on the perimeter and truly made Georgia stretch the field from a right to left perspective and not allow them to get down the field as quickly as they did off the edges.
Ben, always enjoy it. Before I let you run, your thoughts on I know it probably brings back a couple memories for you. It did for me. Auburn taking on Central Florida in the Peach Bowl.
Absolutely, man. I mean, it's, you know, haven't played Central Florida since 1999. Now, granted, they've made some strides in their program since then, I think. When you go back and look, guys, you and I played against Dante Culpepper. Now, granted, they were an offensive juggernaut, but they were not someone that you would expect to play in the Peach Bowl, which is not – the Peach Bowl today is not what the Peach Bowl was when you and I played, Cole. So to come against an undefeated UCF team, I think, is a huge challenge for Auburn. Now, granted, everybody's frustrated and disappointed and upset at the fact that Auburn is not continuing on to the playoffs and they're dealing with Alabama backing their way into a game against Clemson in the Sugar Bowl. But, you know, this Peach Bowl is a big opportunity for Auburn to get better, to play well, and really hopefully develop what Mercedes-Benz Stadium may be as Auburn, you know, Jordan Hare East in the near future.
Well, they'll be there again to start next season against Washington. So before I let you go, our cold question of the day, did the College Football Playoff Committee get it right?
Cole, is as hard as it is for me to say, I feel like they did. I hate it. I do. I can't stand the fact that Alabama sits home after not winning their division and not winning the conference and finds their way in an opportunity to play Clemson and then turn, you know, in their minds, wishes to play in the, you know, in Atlanta for the national championship. But when you look at the available teams from 1 through 4, I think they got it right. I think if you line all those 4 teams up with the other, with number 5, 6, and even 7 and 8, those 4 teams would probably beat the remainder. And that's the thing. That's the number one deal. When you look at the Heisman Trophy winner, you look at the best player in college football. When you look at the top 4 in the college football playoff, you want to choose the best football teams in the country. And at this point, I can't argue with it. I don't like it, but I can't argue with it.
Great stuff, Ben. Look forward to catching up soon.
All right, Cube. Have a good day. War Eagle.
War Eagle. Ben Leard, former Auburn quarterback, joining us there to talk Peach Bowl, SEC Championship game, and obviously Gus Malzahn's new contract.
Real quick, if you want to call it Jordan Hare East, maybe you should win a game there. It would
no!
help. Secondly, do you worry about Auburn's motivation for a Peach Bowl with Central Florida?
Yeah, a little bit. Especially when you look at Kerryon Johnson, Jeff Holland, Carlton Davis, maybe Deshaun Davis, all guys who are going to have an opportunity to maybe leave early and go to the NFL. And Kerryon, listen, if Kerryon's going to leave, he shouldn't play in this football game. And
fair.
I understand it,
fair.
But the guy's battled through some serious shoulder injuries. He has a history of high ankle sprains, which that's something that if that pops back up, then he's probably done at the combine. And that doesn't need to happen. I don't advocate for this. I'm not a big fan of this. But if you have a history of injuries at that position in this game, it's probably in your best interest to sit out, especially if you just win an SEC championship game, not anywhere near 100%, and tried to give the full effort. So that part of it concerns me a little bit, yeah. But you got some guys who have a lot to play for. I mean, some of these seniors, a lot to play for.
Sure.
Go out on a high
sure.
note. I mean, to be able to – I mean, we've talked about this resume of this team. They're SEC West champions, but a chance to say, hey, you beat 2 teams that are in the college football playoff, went toe-to-toe with another, and then knocked off, you know, the only undefeated team in college football, that's a pretty good season, if you can say that.
And there's a chance at the end of the year you may have a win over the national champion on your resume, too.
Very, very good chance. So, all right, we'll take a break when we come back. Alabama in. What does John Parker Wilson think of that? We ask him next. Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump. Monday morning quarterback continues, John Parker Wilson, former Bama QB with us now. John Parker, good morning, man. How you doing?
Cole, I'm doing good, bud. How are you?
Doing well. Your thoughts when you saw that Alabama was going to be included in the college football playoff?
I wasn't surprised. I wouldn't have been surprised if we were out and Ohio State was in, or we were in and Ohio State was out. You know, I think we escaped losing in the Iron Bowl and are very fortunate to be playing for the playoffs. I think that being said, we've got a really good chance, and I'm really looking forward to seeing this first game against Clemson, the rubber match between these two teams. You know, playing in the last two national championships, it's going to be a good game. It'll be a highly rated game for sure, just like the SEC championship was. But I think with the just body of work that Alabama put together this year, deserving to get in, all things considered, that especially happened at the end of the year.
Do you feel like there's an advantage either way here with this being the third time in the last 3 years these teams have met in the postseason?
You know, I think both of the coaches are great. They're going to prepare and have the players prepared, and you give both of these guys a month to get ready for it. They're going to be the guys are going to be healthy after having basically a month to get in the training room to clean up those nicks and bruises and bangs. You know, we'll have a couple guys are out, but for the most part, our girls will be healthy. But I don't see one advantage either way. You know, Clemson's got a new quarterback. We're a lot like we were last year. But just the quality of both of the staffs, you know, it's going to be – both teams will be ready to play come Sugar Bowl day.
John Parker Wilson with us. You mentioned getting injured. How and getting back to being healthy, how different could this Alabama team be when they face off against Clemson in round one?
You know, I think a lot different than the way we finished the season. We had the injury bug the whole year with the linebackers being out, you know, a couple offensive linemen here or there. So I think the ability for those guys to get back is huge. I also think the biggest advantage for us would be that a lot of these guys haven't played the whole year. Christian Miller, these other guys are coming back after basically having them sitting the whole season out. So now you get a great number of practices to get ready to play. It's not like you've got three practices on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then you play on Saturday. They're going to have some quality practices. It'll be kind of spring light atmosphere where you're getting back to basics, working on fundamentals, and then as the game gets closer, they'll do more game planning for Clemson, but these first couple weeks back in practice is going to be a huge advantage for the guys that have missed time.
John Parker Wilson joining us. How different do you expect the offense to look with this extra time?
You know, I don't think it's going to look a whole lot different. I think we had a good offense. We just didn't execute very well against Auburn. I think a lot of that had to do with the quality of defense that Auburn had. But I think it's about going out and executing better than we did. You know, we can talk about play calling and should we have done this, should we have done that all day long. But I think at the end of the Iron Bowl last week, we could say we didn't execute very well and Auburn did it better. And we didn't do that because Auburn forced us not to execute well. So we got to go out there and take care of our own self so we're not letting another team dictate what we do. And wow, did I sound like Coach Saban right there.
Yeah, that's all right. That's why we have you on. We want that Alabama perspective, and that's the way it should be.
And we can't get Saban on.
Yeah, we're not going to get him on this show, even though we've tried multiple times. So John Parker Wilson is with us, former Alabama quarterback. So not just from an Alabama perspective, but as far as how the teams are seated, our cold question of the day is, did the College Football Playoff Committee get it right? What do you think?
I do. I really do. I think – I mean, just look at what the Big Ten has done in the playoff games the past few years. They've getting blown out. Do we want to see the same matchup that we saw last year against Ohio State and Clemson, or the two previous years where it's been two heck of a ball games between Alabama and Clemson? I think, you know, Ohio State can't be too mad because they got in last year after not being the conference champion and getting in the playoffs, essentially what Alabama did this year. Look, I like the ability for the committee to have some human input to what's going on and saying Alabama is a better team than Ohio State. If they lined up and played, I think Alabama would beat Ohio State pretty good, so let's put them in the playoffs and see what they can do. I think now this is great for Alabama, for anybody really, Georgia, Clemson. It's about kind of like we said when I was in the NFL, or the coaches would say, is it kind of really doesn't matter what you did in the regular season. All you have to do is make the tournament, and you got a chance. So now the slates are wiped clean. All four teams are in there. You win two games in your national championship. So a lot of fun. I mean, this is – I think the playoffs are better than anybody ever could imagine with the competitive nature that goes on and just everything on the line right here, win and go on and play for the national championship.
John Parker Wilson joining us. When you look at Jalen Hurts having extra time, do you expect to see the play calling or his game be any different when this matchup against Clemson rolls around?
No, I don't think so. After 2 years, I mean, Jalen, he's not going to go out there and change what he's doing, nor do I think he should try to change what he's doing. I think he has progressed a lot from the first game of the season this year until we played in Auburn. Now, I think he probably could have done a little bit better during the Auburn game, but you know what? It was a big game. Auburn's a heck of a defense. So I think you continue to build on what you would made you better, and we talked about it. Look, he was going through his reads. He's picking up hot routes. Took a step back against Auburn, but I don't think he changes anything he does. It's going out there and just having maybe a little more laser focus on his reads and progressions, and I think he'll get there.
John Parker, always great stuff, man. We'll have you back to talk more college football playoffs soon now that Alabama is in it. But until then, have a good week.
All right, Cole. Y'all have a good one. See you guys.
You too. John Parker Wilson, former Alabama quarterback there, joining us on the phones.
Can't get those Bama guys to say Roll Tide.
It's okay. It's all right.
It's interesting.
You haven't really chimed in on our Cole question of the day. Just big picture, did the committee get it right?
God, sadly, I think they did. I think that the four teams that they selected in were the correct four teams.
Was that Ohio State win about as unimpressive of a Power 5 conference championship win that they could have put on the field when needing to impress to be able to get in?
JT Barrett IV definitely left Wisconsin in that game and made it harder, made it easier, it looks like, for the committee to pick Alabama over Ohio State. I thought going into that game that the committee would have given Ohio State, have they won impressively, maybe another shot at it. But now that I hear what Kirby Hokus said afterwards, and Ohio State not looking nearly as good, and Ohio State having that banger bust game earlier this season, and it was a big bust against Iowa, we all know what the score of that game was by now. That coupled with the fact that they would have been the number four team, and no offense, they're taking on Clemson again, and would have been taking on Clemson again. And knowing that they played Clemson last year to a 31-0 route, I think that had a lot to do with the fact that the committee said Ohio State may have a better resume in our minds, but Alabama's not getting beat 31-0 if they get beat. We're going to have a competitive game. We're going to have a trilogy here. We're going to have the rubber match. People will be very interested in this game. And they, the fans, deserve better as far as their semifinals are concerned. Ohio State just didn't do it in the championship game. I think that part of it was last year's game against Clemson. I really think so. Even though that's not the way it should be, we're all human. We only need to know the last time we saw this Ohio State team take on a Clemson team, they got run out the stadium in Phoenix. And I think that hurt him. I think it hurt him a lot.
All right, when we come back, I'll give you my opinion on the committee and did they get it right next.